Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, good.
Brother BB, how about praying for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seekers Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read it by schedule. Read it however you want to. But everyone that reads their Bible through this year, there's planned to be a Bible Reader's Banquet. Free of charge. Free of charge. Okay, we've been in the book of Genesis for a while. And we had a lot of fun. Spent a lot of time there on chapters 1, 2, and 3. Or I enjoyed it. I had a good time. But Thursday night, now they're going through it. And I'm learning some stuff I didn't know before. And what I wish I'd emphasize more when we come through, and we'll try to do it this morning. I might do it by sections. You don't have to repeat after me. But I just want this section over here on the left to know there's not any evidence for evolution.
Right.
I want this section to know there's no evidence for evolution. Down through here, I want y'all to know they ain't got no evidence for evolution. Now, that's a double negative. I better just go ahead and say there's no evidence. Over here, I want y'all to know there's not one sentence. There's not one iota. They got no evidence for evolution. I don't know how it got in our society, but I hope it gets doged out. Is what I hope. And I'm learning one thing that's kind of hidden under there. One reason some really like it is it's got that racism hid down underneath. And what do you call it? Where you're one-sided, where you're against. And we needed that. We need rid of it. There's nothing. Evolution has nothing.
Right.
They don't have one shred of evidence.
Right.
They got nothing. Okay. Okay, we're on chapter 14, I think it is, on verse 17. And what's been going on here, there's Genesis 14, 17, by the way. And there's been a war. Five kings against four kings. And they... where they really messed up is verse 12, and they took Lot. And so Abram gets involved, and he goes over and rescues them. And let's start there, about 14. And when Abram heard that his brother in Christ, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, I didn't write it. I don't know why I said the women and the people. I just try to go over it real fast. Hope y'all don't notice that it said the women and the people. I wouldn't have said it like that because I'd have gotten in trouble if I'd have said the women and the people. So I wouldn't, but it's in the Bible, you know, so go ahead and read it. It said the women and the people is what it said. The women and the people. Now we're on verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavuot, which is the king's dale. Now, the king of Sodom, that's a picture of the devil, our enemy. Right. And now, 18 and 19, let's look at that. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Now, I've been reading a good bit on this Melchizedek, and personally, I think it's a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus, one of those theophanies. But I read some people that don't agree with that, and I don't really know for sure, but he's And one reason is it says, we might read it here in a minute, that Melchizedek is like the Son of God. And that's the reason on that. But maybe he was like, maybe it's not the Lord, but it's almost. It's almost if it's not. Here's a godly, priestly king of Salem. He steps out of nowhere. And he's like unto the Lord, Melchizedek is. King, priest of the Most High, Salem, Jerusalem, peace, prince of peace. Where did he come from? He just shows up like the Lord. Where did the Lord come from? From heaven. Let's look at one verse here. Well, in the Old Testament, Psalm 110. Psalm 110 and verse 4. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But most of our description of him is in Hebrews. Let's go over there for a little bit. If you were here in Hebrews, you know, but maybe you wasn't. Maybe you weren't here when we went through Hebrews. And let's look in chapter 5. We get a description of the Lord and of Melchizedek. 5 verses 6 through 10. Let's look at this. And as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That must have come from Psalm 110. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Sound like the Lord. And was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, a big S son, capital S son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now let's look at chapter 7. Now really, all of chapter 7 is about the Lord or Melchizedek, depending on how you look at it. We're not going to read it all. I'd just like to read the 7 verses here, the first 7 verses, and see if we get this picture. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, unto whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, one of the big points we're going to make here after a while, if I don't get too wound up, is Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And this is 400 years before the law. And also, you only pay tithes to God.
Right.
First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. Also after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was. I'm going to go ahead and tell you he's great.
Right, yeah.
And that's our lesson in Hebrews. If you were here, we just we spend a whole hour on how great he is. I'll go ahead and tell you he's greater than that. Brother Roger told me this morning he's bigger than that.
Yes.
He's bigger than that. He's greater than that. I'll go ahead and just tell you he's great. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So Melchizedek and Jesus both are a lot better than Abraham, and he blessed Abraham. What he did. And then chapter 8, verse 1, while you're right there. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have a high priest. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand, S-E-T, on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Well, that's Melchizedek and the Lord, if you believe that. Now back to Genesis 14. I think we're on verse 20. And we already read about it, but here's where he gave the tithes. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And again, that's only the Lord. You only pay tithes to the Lord. Again, Brother Roger, I think it was Brother Roger this morning, put a check in the pot out there, the basket, and said, there, you probably need that. But it's really not to me. It's to the Lord, and he'll do with it whatever he wants. But I do thank you, Roger. I thank you. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now, I think it's already been prayed this morning. We need our young people. We can't leave our young people behind. We've got to get our children saved. We have to. It's a must. It's imperative. We don't have a choice. We've got to get our children in. We've got to. And now the devil, he'll say, you take the money and I'll take the kids. We can't do that. That's impossible. We can't do that. That's not a consideration. We can't do that. We can't do that. Let me just read that again. And the king of Sodom, the devil, we decided he was up in 17, said unto Abram, give me the persons and you take the goods. He's talking about our children. We can't give up our children for nothing. Your children's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And maybe a few friends and neighbors on the way. But the Lord's looking at me directly to get mine in.
First responsibility.
Okay, let's. I better go on, I reckon. The Bible believer belongs to God. It's in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not only does God own me, but he owns my time. My time's not my own. Let's look at that in Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, ladies, they can do two things at once. I can't do that. I just got to do one thing, and don't bother me while I'm doing it, or I'll get off track. But not ladies. They can really redeem the time. They can do two things at once, maybe three or four. Multitasking, they call it. But not me. Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. See, I'm getting ready to have a birthday. I know I don't look like it, but I'm going to. So I need to be busy. I need to number my days and know I won't be here very long. And I need to be busy. I need to be about the Father's business. That's not all. The Bible believer, God owns his talents. God owns his him. He owns his time. He owns his talents. It's in Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I need to give him the credit and do with it what he says. 1 Corinthians 7:7. But I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath this proper gift of God. Everybody has a gift. Yours might be, you might be on the security. I don't know. Every man hath this proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after the other. Brother Dennis says it pretty good. Everybody, there's only two jobs in the church. The number one job is the preacher or pastor, or you can help him. That's the two jobs. That's it. So I'm sure you fall in there somewhere. I fall in there somewhere, surely. And then, not only does God own the Bible believer, he doesn't just own his time, his talents, but he owns his treasures. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, this is it, this is Sunday. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And then in 2 Corinthians, you see it again in 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Right.
Then back in Genesis 14, now, I worked up this big lesson on giving, and it's on your handout. That's homework. I decided not to go through it here. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will not take from a thread even unto a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine. Abraham's not going to take anything from the devil. He's not going to take his paydays, nothing he's got. He's not going to give him the time of day. Lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich.
Right.
Save only that which was already done, looks to me like, which the young men have eaten, and the portion of men which went with me, Aner, Eskol, Mamre. Let them take their portion. Abram wasn't going to take nothing from him. He deserved it. Abram deserved the people and the spoils both. But he didn't take it. He said, I don't want it. Okay, let's just go on chapter 15 now. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Now, this is the first time you find this phrase, fear not, in the Bible. But we're going to find it many times. And there's, I can tell, the Lord don't want us to be afraid. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram just got through making some powerful enemies. Those kings that was on the other side. And by faith, he enters this dangerous battle there and wins. And he refuses the spoil. And God says to him, you did right, Abram. He said, listen, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, in the Greek, that means, look, Abram, I'm how you won that battle. You didn't do it. I did. I know you had 315 trained servants, but you didn't do it. I'm glad you trained them, but you didn't do it.
Right.
God said, look, Abram, I won that battle for you.
Right.
And we can go around the room. I see some battles around here. It's been won. And I'll go ahead and tell you, the Lord won them.
Right.
I went through some battles, and the Lord won them. The Lord's why I'm here this morning.
Amen.
He said, Abraham, I'm how you won that. Don't you forget that, Abraham. He said, I'm the one. I am thy exceeding great reward, and you did right to turn down those spoils. He said, don't forget, buddy, I'm it. I'm it. You're not. Verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. See, Abraham said, Lord, I don't want a salary. I want a son. He said, if I die right now, I'll lose everything. I got one servant here. He's going to get everything. He said, Lord, I'd really like a son.
Yeah.
I don't want a salary. I don't want the spoils.
Yeah.
I'd really like to have a son.
Right.
Like to have a son. Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And he's talking to the Lord now. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this servant, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir.
Yeah.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Right.
Now, he is talking directly about Israel. And a nation coming out of Abraham's loins. But that's not all. He done told him over and over he's going to bless him. He's also referring back to 3:15 that seed is going to come through Abram. He said the promised seed of the woman is going to come through you too, Abram. And the next thing Abram says is, and he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God was going to bless his seed and multiply it, make it a nation, maybe two nations, eventually through Ishmael. But he also believed that that promised seed of the woman is going to come through Abram. That's how Abram got saved. He believed in the Lord. He didn't do anything. He believed. He believed God. He believed God's word. This is a revelation to Abram. And Abram did not please God. He did not appease God. He didn't bring a lamb. He didn't bring an offering. He didn't bring money. He did not appease God. He believed God.
Amen.
Let me ask you this morning, do you believe it?
Yes, sir.
The word of the Lord came unto him and said, don't worry, Abram. Your seed is going to be okay. There's going to be a seed come through you.
Yes.
And Abram believed God, and God marked him down as righteous. He wasn't righteous, but God counted him righteous because he believed.
Yes.
Because he had faith. God chose something that everyone can do. Anyone can believe.
Yeah.
Those youngins downstairs, that's why we're having Sunday school. Anyone can believe.
Yes, sir.
Anyone can believe. Briley, or maybe the one that just had a baby, stood right here. Shane stood down there. The father held out his arms, and she didn't even hesitate. She bailed off.
Yes.
She believed the Father was able. She not only believed He's able, she believed He'd do it. He'd catch her. She believed in the Lord. That's what she did. Faith in Christ. Let's see if we can see this in Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let me ask you, are you keeping a law or claiming a promise this morning? Yeah, hallelujah. We're not keeping the law. We're not under the law. I am claiming a promise. And I can open it up and show it to you, which ones I'm claiming. Are you claiming a promise or keeping a law? That's a terrible situation to be in when you're under the law. The response here, we see it in Romans 4. Chapter 4 down through here. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Well, let me just go ahead and tell you. What he found out was the flesh wasn't as good as he thought it was.
Right.
Now, if you want to keep the commandments, you go ahead. It's America.
Yeah.
You can try that if you want to. If you want to be good, you go ahead and try that if you want to.
Yeah.
It's America. I tried that when I was young. I tried and failed, tried and failed, tried. Now finally give up.
Yeah.
Finally get up. Look here. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God.
Yeah.
You can go the good works route if you want to. It's America.
Yeah.
But the Bible route is to believe God, like Abraham did.
Yeah.
Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
And it was counted to him for righteous. It didn't say Abraham was righteous.
Right.
No.
Right.
God just marked him down righteous like an accounting term. You get a credit or a debit. And God credited Abraham as being righteous even though he wasn't, because what he did is believe God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. He relied on God. He depended on God. That's what he did. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, if I go that route and want to do good works and keep the commandments, I'm going to be like not John Henry, Big John, that dug in the coal mines, and every day I'm just going to get deeper and deeper in debt.
Yeah.
Every day I'm going to break more and more commandments. If we only sin three sins a day, anybody think you sin three sins a day?
Yeah.
You know, in a year, that's 1,000. Now, I've got a whole lot to my account right now. They would throw me under the jail and throw away the key. But I claimed a promise just like Abram did.
Yes, amen.
I said, hey, I'm going to believe God. I'm losing this way. I'm getting deeper in debt every day. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. See, ungodly's the only folk that can get in. See, good people don't need a Savior. If you're keeping the commandments and being good, you don't need a Savior. No, no, no. See, ungodly's the only one that can get in. That's the only kind of folk that can get in the Lord's family, is the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. See, I'm not a bit more righteous than I was 50 years ago. I'm not righteous, not even close to it. If two things we'll never figure out. One's how bad we are, and the other one's how good He is. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. My goodness, it must be important. It's through and through. Yeah. Knowing ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abram, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The seed of a woman, is where Abram put his faith, that the Messiah was going to come through him, through his seed, down through history. It's coming up. Let's look at Psalm 105:37 here and see about Abram putting his faith in Christ. 37. This is when the children of Israel were wandering around 40 years in the wilderness before they went into the promised land with Joshua. And it says here, he brought them forth with silver and gold. That's the spoil they took from Egypt when they left. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, I remember reading about their shoes did not wear out, but I'd forgot about this feeble. Not one feeble person. The preacher's been telling me how feeble I am, and our congregation is getting more feeble as we go. But not here. Not here, not those that believe God. They came through, their shoes didn't wear out, and there was not one feeble person among all their tribes after 40 years of wandering. And Abram, he started that because he's the first one that believed God. And then if you remember, all the rest of the books about Abraham. And those that be of faith can get in with Father Abraham. Now, what happened back in Genesis 3. And when the woman saw a tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? What happened was there was a great fall. Adam fell. He fell off the cliff. And we were all in Adam, and we all fell when he fell. Adam's sin got imputed to us.
Right.
And then what happened on Calvary, the whole human race's sin got imputed to Jesus. He took all my sin. Then everyone that believes and receives Christ gets His righteousness imputed to them. Everyone that believes in Christ and receives Him gets imputed righteousness. You're not righteous, but when God looks at you, He sees the blood of Jesus, and He loves you as much as He loves Jesus. If I ever get saved, it'll be because I believe God.
That's exactly right.
Which God? Well, it's the one that justifies the ungodly. That's the ones that can get in. That's the only kind of folks that can get in. Believe God and accept what He says. It's the only way. Now, we're back in 14, or 15 rather. Let's see, how about verse 7 and 8? And he said unto him, I am the Lord, capital L, big O, big R, big D, that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land and to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? A little bit of lapse of faith here. I should take him at his word. Abram should have just took him at his word, not need a sign. But he's like us sometimes. He wants a sign. And what Abraham is really asking for is a signed contract where the party of the first part signs it and then the party of the second part signs it. And then they take it down to the courthouse and get it notarized. That's what Abram's wanting. That's what he's asking for. And here's the answer. In verse 9, and God said unto him, take thee a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What the Lord told him, he said, look, we're not going to do that two-sided contract thing, part of the first part, part of the second part. He said, you'll fail. He said, I'm going to go ahead and do it all. So don't worry about nothing, Abram. I'm going to do it. He laid it all out there like a picture of Calvary. And that 3 years, the Lord went into the ministry when he was 30 years old and he served till he's 33. He said, Abram, I got it covered. I done took care of it. Don't worry about nothing. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God paralyzed him, put him to sleep. You know, for 21 years, I was paralyzed in sin. I was dead, dumb, doomed, lost. And Abram had a dream, and he dreams about all this. And he dreams that his descendants, the Israelites, are going to be strangers. This is verse 13. Let me read down through here a little bit. And verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of the great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve will I judge, and after they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the Euphrates and the rest of these tribes down through here. He said, you're going to get it all. In verse 13 it says, the strangers are going to, you're going to be strangers in the land. Genesis 46 proves that. We're not going to read these. In 13 and 14 they're to be servants. Exodus 1. Shows that they're servants. 430 years, Exodus 12. It came about just like God said, just like He said He would. In verse 14, it said there'd be judgment. Exodus 7 through chapter 7 through 12, there's judgment. And Abraham's going to be spared in verse 15. In Genesis 25, we'll see when we get over there, he's spared. And the fourth generation, Moses, is in Canaan in verse 16. Exodus 6, that happens just like God said it would happen. Verse 14, Egypt's going to be spoiled. And in Exodus 12, it happens just like said. Matter of fact, they take the spoils and leave. And after 40 years, there's not one feeble person. We already read it. Right. Just like God said He would do. The Lord did it. The smoking furnace is the judgment of Christ. The burning lamp's the eternal light of God. It was a blood covenant. God signed it. It wasn't God and Abraham. God signed it. God walked between the rows, two rows of meat and blood. It was a pledge. Abraham believed God. Abraham promised nothing. And Abraham did nothing. God promised it and God fulfilled it. God did it. That's all you get for a nickel. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.